morning, KINS, news and information time. Okay, let's try that one again, huh? Good morning. Today is Friday, December the 2nd. Joining us this morning is Eureka City Manager, Mr. Sparks.
Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, sir. You still have a city underneath you, right?
We definitely have a city underneath.
All right. Our quote this morning. Oh. A Yiddish proverb. It might be appropriate for the post-election cycle. I'm not sure. Quote, make sure to send a lazy man for the angel of death.
I've not heard that one before.
Yeah, well, you can't say that anymore, can you? About that one. So it's been almost a full month now since the elections, and if we set aside some of the goofy stuff of the state, I guess we finally had Daryl Issa confirmed on Tuesday, 3,300 votes.
So
he's going back to Congress. Yeah, yeah. What kind of takeaway did you get as somebody who is involved, obviously, with the city of Eureka, but with also city of Eureka politics? Did you have a takeaway?
Well, number one, I try to stay away from the politics part of it, but obviously,
well, voting is but certainly, political in this
but
one.
Certainly,
yeah.
Pay a lot of attention to it. You know, you're always concerned about, you know, who's going to be one of my bosses, or in this you know, but two new council members coming in, and so yeah, you do pay attention to that, and as well as the ballot issues. It's hard to know how the community was going to react to the Measure P, the ward system vote. I spent quite a bit of time dealing with the countywide sales tax for half-cent sales tax for transportation, which...
Boy, that went down ugly.
That went down very ugly, and I had a lot of concerns about it going in, so it didn't surprise me. I mean, number one, it required the 66 two-thirds vote to get approved, and on a countywide measure, I think that's a difficult one to add a half-cent. I think people certainly feel that, gee, we pay a lot in sales tax already. I definitely understand that. I think there are things on that sales tax measure that were, I think were things that if were kind of on the fence and you say, well, gee, some of it goes from the county side going to the airport. Is that a good way to spend money when we've got potholes and all this? Certainly from the city of Eureka, we were saying, we want this to deal with street repairs, not for trail maintenance or airport or any of that, but certainly in the city dealing with the bad condition of our roads. So with that failing, I mean, we're certainly going to have to be, I think, looking 2 years down the road to maybe something else that is just city of Eureka that deals with roads. Maybe it's a quarter cent sales tax. You know, that would generate $2.2 million.
How much do you need?
Oh. You know, right.
Okay, and not the whole list, but I mean,
yeah.
What is a normal maintenance, treading water budget?
A treading water budget on streets 30 some years ago was $300,000 or so, and we're still sitting around that same amount despite the inflation factor. So, $2.2 million would go a long ways towards really over a period of time. Dealing with the worst of our road situations.
So maybe you do like a 3 or 4 year.
Oh, it takes definitely more than 3 or 4 years. I mean,
well, worth of those dollars.
Yeah,
not the construction part.
Okay.
CEQA. EIRs. It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Greg Sparks. Greg, the concept of sales tax funding for basic government function.
Yes.
You're having to do that for law enforcement, public safety. In the last break, you talked a little bit about doing that for roads.
Yes.
Other than water, there's really not anything left on that list. Why is it getting to the point of needing to have supplemental funding rather than the initial model of property tax and things of that nature that would take care of a community?
Yeah, certainly, you know, prior to Proposition 13, what year was that, 1978, I believe it was.
My first vote.
I remember, yes, being a...
You probably know which way I voted on that one, too, huh?
I bet you voted for it. I just remember I was in grad school in Reno and was doing some work for Nevada League of Cities when that passed. And I just remember thinking at the time, boy, that seems like that might be a game changer. And it certainly was in California and in a lot of other states as well that had property tax measures, voter initiative to try to control the, you know, increasing property taxes. Well, the impact of that in Eureka is a very, you know, flat dollar amount in terms of property tax because we don't have a lot of, you know, growth from, you know, new, you know, manufacturing, residential, other commercial. So when you got property taxes sitting around $2 million and not growing, sales tax has definitely become, the most, it's our largest single general fund revenue source is the sales tax. The occupancy tax is certainly another important piece as well.
Now, that was 40 years ago, though.
Yeah.
There have been careers that have come and gone.
Right.
In that interim. Just not enough money? Too many other pressures now that didn't exist then? Existing today? Because, or, like you had indicated, a lack of sales of properties in Eureka to have the assessment changed.
Certainly a lot of those factors, the fact that the property tax isn't growing, basically just kind of staying stagnant. We've had increased cost as a result of pension costs over a number of years, certainly as a result of the recession of 2008, certainly had a big impact on that. Greater part of the budget going towards public safety costs over the last, probably 10 years in particular. And, the funding source primarily for roads in recent years has been from state gas tax dollars. And I know we've talked about this on the show before, probably over the last year, 2 years, of that's been decreasing with, more fuel efficient vehicles. People cut down on driving when in tougher economic times. So when you've got revenue sources going down and costs that continue to rise, that's why we end up with those kind of budgetary pressures.
Are roads different today than what they were in the past? The product itself, the longevity of it? The shredded rubber. I know that was being talked about, and I think it's being utilized in some areas, being mixed in with the slurry or with the asphalt and things of that nature. Are roads today more costly? In same dollars or less costly, or the environmental stuff that's associated with it now drives the cost? I mean, it would seem that there's something goofy going on.
Yeah, I think that's probably no simple answer on that as well. Certainly asphalt costs have gone up probably greater than rates of inflation over the years, but with higher oil costs. But consequently, you would think that when cost of oil goes down, asphalt should be
$25 a barrel.
Should be cheaper, and I think that's true to a degree. I think from our standpoint, we've just gotten so far behind because of lack of funding. So in past years, when you do a road, and you can go back in over, maybe just 5 years later and do a slurry seal on it, or a chip and seal to help maintain that road. When those kind of funds start drying up, then you have to go in and do more significant, removing of the asphalt and redoing the base, much more expensive projects. And I think that's what we're really looking at in many cases. Certainly someone still new to California. I mean, I like the fact we don't have the freeze-thaw cycle on roads, which I dealt with for 19 years in Minnesota and up in the mountains of Colorado. So I think we get very long life out of our roads. But you can sure tell from these rain conditions about how bad the base is getting to be in these roads. And as that base starts deteriorating and holds water, the roads break down quicker. And we saw more breakdown last winter than the year before. And it seems to me with this wet fall, we're seeing the same thing.
So how would you grade the city's budget efforts?
Definitely inadequate. And we've talked about that with council. And I think previous city managers brought that up with city councils. You know, when, 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, we had significant budget issues heading into the 2014-15 budget, fiscal year budget. We did a lot of reductions throughout the year, then did some reorganizations to bring some costs down. Still had to do a significant number of reductions, 15-16 budget. Then finally, in the 16-17 budget, starting to see some stability within the city's budget. But as we've told council, and council well recognized, we still don't have enough money to deal with streets and the type of keeping facilities maintained to the level they should be. And so I think that's one of the really big budget challenges that remains out there over the next several years.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30. We'll be back with more from Greg Sparks.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Eureka City Manager Greg Sparks. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, the Salvation Army, and by REDEC. Greg, the results of the state election that happened last month, was there anything there that got your attention with the bonds, with the measures, with the state initiatives that either you may see as a harbinger for the future, or something that you just kind of scratch your head and go, really? Whether it passed or didn't pass.
Well, I think probably as any resident, you somewhat scratch your head just over the volume of initiatives that are on the ballot and that we're, supposed to educate ourselves on. And some of these I read through and go, well, why isn't just the legislature dealing with this? Why does this have to be a voter initiative? I'm probably not real big on propositions to begin with.
It seems like it's a really inefficient way of doing things.
I think so, because I think what we've seen in the past, California and other states, is that you get things that are in conflict with each other. That, the growth of this is guaranteed to be funded by this source, but yet then there's something else that conflicts with that. And so that always seems like the problem with some of the propositions and initiatives. Certainly, I think like a lot of people, I was following the adult medical marijuana issue. I mean, it certainly is predicted all along that it was going to win. I think it ended up 54-56%, somewhere around that.
It was a little thinner than what I had thought.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were expecting maybe in the 60% range.
60-40 is kind of what I had sensed.
And, what's the impact of that going to be long term. I mean, certainly we've had other states, particularly in the West, that got a few years of some history. I know I watched the program on 60 Minutes a few weeks ago that dealt with Colorado and their experience, and had the governor on there really talking about he had been very much opposed to it going in, but he felt kind of somewhat that the jury was still out on whether this was, in a sense, kind of a good thing or a bad thing. And everyone likes to point and says, well, it generates this much in, you know, additional taxes. But then there's other, on the other end, there are costs to that as well. So,
does Eureka currently have the zoning in place for the retailers to sell this stuff?
It really does fall in under under our zoning. We dealt with this with the medical cannabis regulations recently.
I was wondering if they were common or not.
But one of the areas that's still a big unknown is that part of the city that's in the coastal zone, and that part of the ordinance that needs to be approved through the Coastal Commission, and whether or not, you know, what those how that will look when that decision's finally made, or if they come back with any proposed changes to what the council had already approved.
Well, considering how quickly the state's moved on medicinal, give it another 30, 40 years, they ought to come up with something.
Well, it did take, certainly at the legislative level, it took really 20 years to come up with some comprehensive regulations after the state had, the medical cannabis had been passed. So I don't think we can wait 20 years on recreational marijuana. A lot of questions out there in terms of cultivation and the dispensaries for that.
That's what I was going to get to, because it would seem to me that if this is now out in the open, so to speak, that the grow houses that have been the bane of fire and law enforcement and neighborhoods for years, if not decades, in Eureka, that, okay, guys, bring it out. Now you no longer have to have, and a lot that there would be an associated inventory expansion of available housing stock in Eureka all of a sudden. Because now you grow it outside, you don't need the house.
Yeah.
Are you anticipating something like that?
From talking with Arcata and their experience with when they put in the excessive energy use tax. They had really two main goals with that. Number was to, obviously generate revenue and pay for itself of doing the metering to recover those costs of putting that tax in. But secondly, was to really kind of get houses back into being used for residential use versus grow houses. And I believe they feel that that's been very successful from that standpoint. We didn't have near the same percentage in Eureka, and we check with PG&E annually as to you seeing any movement on that, and we haven't had. We just, as a percentage of our housing stock, it's remained a pretty small percent.
10?
Down in that range, and it has not been growing. In fact, it's been decreasing over the last several years in terms of high energy use.
Considering the lack of new construction in the city limits.
Mm-hmm.
It probably still represents a pretty good chunk of the stock that would be available to be purchased in any 2 or 3 year period. That still might double the inventory.
And believe me, I think it's important to, even from a improving neighborhood standpoint, because I think from the city standpoint, what do you do to help improve neighborhoods where residents feel safe in their homes? This is a place where they want to raise their families, or, live in the community.
Getting rid of the bad guys is one of them.
That's a big piece of it.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42. We'll be back with more from Greg Sparks.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
things kind of settling into place. When do you anticipate starting to see some of the impacts of these things? Prop 64, we spent a little bit of time talking about. You got a couple of new on the city council. Normally takes them a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
When do you anticipate that the community is going to start to see the impacts of this past election?
Well, from the council, I'll start with that. You know, we've already started, of course, having discussions with the new council members and, you know, trying to bring them up to speed on some of the issues. Early March, we'll be doing our council staff strategic planning session with council, kind of a two-day in terms of really getting some strategic direction from the council of where they want to go, not just, you know, over the next 12 months, but longer term than that as well. And, you know, in some cases that will just be a retooling of some work that's previously been done. But anytime you have changes in council, you get some changes in direction as well. And from a staff standpoint, it's good to know that before we start working on the next year budget. So that's the important piece there.
Is there ever a white paper that's done? I can't recall, so I don't really know the answer. A white paper that's done in a summation of here's the direction that we've been instructed in the city of Eureka to take the city for the next 5 years based on city council discussion that happened last weekend.
Yes. Yes, we have done that. And one of the things we even post around City Hall as well is just kind of this one-page document which lays out kind of the major priorities from the council so that and obviously, there's things that come up throughout the year that, gee, that wasn't on our priorities, but we do need to react to it or get in front of something. You know, from the adult medical the adult recreational marijuana, some of the main things with that don't go into effect until January of 2018. Now, what immediately can happen, though, is that being able to do the personal grows day after the election, you know, in your home and the reduction in sentences and all those kind of things. But from a dispensary cultivation, some of those things, you're really going to be looking at 2018 for the impacts.
You think the current zoning ordinances for the city will work?
They will work once the Coastal Commission makes some decisions about those areas within the coastal zone. Which
but say if Henderson Center
Henderson
has
Center,
slots or...
Yep.
You know, okay, so we probably will start seeing some of those green signs popping up.
Right, you know, and I was in Colorado in September, and I wished I'd taken some pictures. I was in Aspen a little bit, and saw, you know, some of the cannabis facilities there. They weren't, quite frankly, they weren't as obtrusive as I thought they'd be, or maybe as many on every block as maybe I was somewhat expecting. You know, sometimes you watch the news, you think, well, gee, it's just everywhere. And I think I saw two or three in Aspen. I mean, there's probably more than that, but
well, and those are the ones who are complying too.
You know, and they were the ones that had, you know, they have big, you know, big signs, and they certainly draw people in. But I think in California, and certainly our city our previous city council, with the medical cannabis, no signage, and so we'll have some decisions to make when it comes to the recreational.
You know, as long as it's legal, you know, I think the biggest thing, being self-focused a little bit, is the advertising, because now it's illegal to use broadcast, mm-hmm. and the banking.
Yes.
You know, until those things get cleaned up, it really doesn't matter too much what you guys do.
And we don't know.
If you can't bank it, it's really tough to have a store.
That's right.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
We've been Talking Shop with Greg Sparks. Join us Monday morning for more Talk Shop. Until then, go out and make it a good day. Hug some of you. See you tomorrow morning.